Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, November 30th, 2022. Coming up this hour,
Wall Street awaits a highly anticipated speech from Jay Powell.
China appears to be taking a softer public stance against COVID restrictions.
Congress moves to prevent a possible rail strike.
And Disney says management and strategy changes could come at a cost.
A suspicious powder was found in a New York Midtown hotel. Plus, the same-sex marriage bill heads to the House after Senate passage. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower at Sports. Easy win for the Knicks. Islanders lost. St. John's won. And the U.S. advances at the World Cup.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
And good morning. I'm John Tucker.
I'm Nathan Hager. Futures are moving higher this morning. We're coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 8 points. Dow futures up 44. NASDAQ futures are higher by 36 points. 10-year Treasury is up 3/32. The yield 3.73%. Yield on the 2-year 4.47%. NYMEX crude is higher by 2.25%, or $1.75, at $79.95 a barrel. And COMEX gold is up 0.7% at $1,775.90 an ounce. John?
And Nathan, we begin with a highly anticipated speech by the Fed Chair, Jay Powell. It takes place right in the middle of today's trading. Now let's get a preview from Bloomberg Economics correspondent Michael McKee.
When the Fed chairman speaks, he usually moves markets. Probably not this time, though. Investors have firmly priced in a half percentage point increase in the Fed's target rate, and none of the Fed speakers in recent weeks has taken issue with that. What Jay Powell may want to do is set some guidelines for the new Fed guidance on rates coming December 14th. There's general agreement among policymakers the ultimate level of the target rate will be higher than their last forecast of 4.6%. Markets now see it at 5%. Powell could offer guidance on whether that's about right and about how long it would take the Fed to get there. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Mike. And Bloomberg Radio and Television will bring you live coverage of Powell's speech this afternoon. You can catch that around 1:30 p.m. Wall Street time.
Well, ahead of that speech, John, we continue to hear tough talk on interest rates from Fed officials. Let's get the latest live with Bloomberg's Steve Rappaport. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Nathan and John. St. Louis Fed President Jim Bullard estimates an interest rate of at least 4.9% would be needed to bring inflation down next year. But former New York Fed President and Bloomberg columnist Bill Dudley predicts an even higher rate in the short term.
I think once we get to 5.25, 5.5, I think they'll relent, and then they'll just sit there and wait for that restrictive monetary policy to slow the economy down, generate more slack in the labor market.
The Fed is expected to announce another rate hike next month. Live in New York, I'm Steve Rappaport, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Steve. And let's turn to economic news out of Asia now. Data show COVID restrictions are continuing to hamper growth for the Chinese economy. Now, Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis is more from Hong Kong.
Tough COVID restrictions on consumers and businesses weighed on activity. The official PMI fell to 48 this month. That's the lowest reading since April and worse than the estimate of 49 in a Bloomberg survey. The non-manufacturing index declined to 46.7 from 48.7 in October. That was also lower than estimated. About a quarter of China's total GDP is said to be affected by COVID lockdowns. Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Brian, thanks. And we may see China starting to enact a softer stance on COVID restrictions. Stories of people who survived infections are popping up in state-run media, something that had not been published previously. Local governments are now vowing to prioritize the public over COVID control. The People's Daily, a mouthpiece for the Communist Party, is urging citizens to take responsibility for their own health.
Yeah, it's the last trading day of the month, and November was a good month for Chinese stocks listed in the U.S. They're up 30%. If that level holds today, it would be the best month ever. It's also been a good run for global bonds. They added a record $2.8 trillion in market value in November.
All right, let's turn to politics now, John. Congress is moving fast to prevent a possible strike by rail workers. We get the details from Amy Morris in our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
There will be two votes in the House today. The first vote is on a bill to avert the strike by passing the tentative agreement. The second would be an up or down vote on whether to add 7 days of paid sick leave for railroaders. Lawmakers are reluctantly intervening to avoid what would be a devastating blow to the nation's economy if the supply chain of fuel, food, and other critical goods were disrupted. Once it passes the House, the bill heads to the Senate for consideration. The deadline for an agreement is December 9th. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And thanks, Amy. Also in Washington today, lawmakers are getting a visit from Apple CEO Tim Cook. We're told he plans to meet with top Republican lawmakers. And Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
The aim, according to Bloomberg sources, is to forge ties with GOP leadership ahead of the party's takeover of the House next year. He has scheduled sessions with Republican Representatives Jim Jordan, Daryl Issa, and Kathy McMorris Rodgers. Jordan and McMorris Rodgers are likely to chair top committees overseeing the tech industry when the GOP does take over. The meetings were likely scheduled before the exchange of messages between Cook and Elon Musk at Twitter. Several conservative Republicans, including Jordan, have been very critical of Apple. Jordan has become a Musk supporter. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thank you. And the shakeup continues at Disney with Bob Iger reinstated as CEO. The company now says changes to its management and strategy could come at a cost. We get that story from Bloomberg's Doug Krisner.
Returning CEO Bob Iger recently told staff he's considering changes to the company's management structure, and a regulatory filing shows plans may include modifying the way Disney releases and exhibits movies and TV shows, including the platforms for initial distribution. As a result, Disney says, once determined, the changes could result in impairment charges. Changes in consumer behavior favor online platforms. However, streaming services are struggling to turn a profit. Last year, Disney lost $4 billion on its online TV businesses. In New York, I'm Doug Krisner, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Doug. And ahead of the cash open on Wall Street futures for now, they are in the green. That also comes ahead, of course, of Jay Powell's speech at 1:30 Wall Street time. Dow futures right now, 32 points higher. S&P E-mini futures, they're up about 7 points. That's a rise of 0.2%. And the NASDAQ futures right now, up 35 points. That is up 0.3%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. It's now 5:07 on Wall Street. Time to bring in Michael Barr with what else is going on in New York and around the world.
John, thank you very much, sir. New York City Mayor Eric Adams is directing police and city medics to be more aggressive about getting severely mentally ill people off the streets and subways and into treatment. Adams says that's the case, even if it means involuntarily hospitalizing some people who refuse care.
We can no longer deny the reality that untreated psychosis can be a cruel and all-consuming condition that often requires involuntary intervention.
The mayor's announcement was condemned as wrong-headed by some civil rights groups and advocates for the homeless. The NYPD is searching for a man who snuck into the Park Hyatt Hotel in Manhattan and left behind a suspicious white powdery substance. Police say departing guests dropped a hotel room key on the street and someone snuck into the unoccupied hotel room and spent the night. A cleaning worker reported being sickened by what was described as a suspicious white substance left behind in the room. Assistant Chief James McCarthy of the NYPD.
Fire department swabbed various surfaces of the room, which initially indicated that there was a possible trace of amount of explosive substance.
Assistant Chief McCarthy says the powder tested negative. The Senate has passed landmark bipartisan legislation to protect same-sex marriages. The Respect for Marriage Act would ensure that same-sex and interracial marriages are enshrined in federal law. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer.
What a great day. What a great day.
The bill now goes to the House, where it's expected to pass. A jury has convicted the head of a far-right group of plotting the January 6th attack on the Capitol. Stuart Rhodes, leader of the right-wing Oath Keepers group, and one other defendant were convicted of seditious conspiracy. History was made in Jersey City as the first female deputy chief is now New Jersey's highest-ranking professional female firefighter. Constance Sapella and three other deputy chiefs on the Jersey City Fire Department were promoted at a city hall ceremony yesterday. The Christmas tree lighting is tonight in Rockefeller Center. Last night, members of Congress gathered to light the Capitol Christmas tree. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. It's now 5:10 on Wall Street. Time now for the sports report being brought to you by your Tri-State Audi dealers. And here's John Stenshauer.
Thanks, John. Rare laugher for the Knicks in Detroit. 40-point first quarter, scored at least 30 in the other three. They won by 30. 140 to 110. Julius Randle led the way. 36 points. He only played 31 minutes. In Dallas, Luka Doncic, 41 points. Triple-double. Mavs beat Golden State, defending NBA champs, just 2-10 on the road. Islanders lost in Philadelphia 3-1. St. John's easy win over LIU, and the Red Storm now 8-0. Looks like a long season at Syracuse. The Orange are 3-4. They lost by 29 at Illinois. It's the last weekend of the college football regular season. Georgia, Michigan, TCU, and USC are all playing conference championship games, and if they win, they'll be the four teams in the playoff. Ohio State, after the loss to Michigan, dropped from second to fifth. Giants getting healthy at the right time. Big games if they want to make the playoffs starting Sunday against red-hot Washington. And the Giants could be getting several starters back from injury, including rookie tackle Evan Neal and rookie tight end Daniel Bellinger. As the U.S. World Cup team gets ready for its game Saturday morning against the Netherlands, all eyes on Christian Pulisic's pelvis. Suffered a contusion in a collision with the Iranian goalie as he scored the only goal in the win over Iran. Pulisic posted, don't worry, I'll be ready, as U.S. teammate is Yunus Musa.
He brings a lot to the team, great guy off the field, very good, nice guy. And then on the field, everyone sees his brilliance. He's there at the right time, at the right space. So, I mean, very, very happy that he's my teammate.
It's a young U.S. team. Musa is the youngest. He was born in the Bronx. Yesterday was his 20th birthday. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. John?
All right, John, thanks very much. Ahead of the cash open on Wall Street, Dow futures up 41, S&P futures up 8, the NASDAQ futures 40 points higher. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And the sports report brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit your local Tri-State Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today, or visit AudiOffers.com for more information. This is Bloomberg.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
I'm Nathan Hager. Futures are edging higher. The dollar is slipping for a second day as investors await a speech by Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell for signals about the path of interest rate increases and assess prospects for China's economic reopening. We check the markets for you every 15 minutes during the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures right now are up 7 points. Dow futures up 34. NASDAQ futures are higher by 36 points. 10-year Treasury is a little changed. The yield 3.74%. Yield on the 2-year 4.47%. NYMEX crude is up 2% or $1.59 at $79.79 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.6% or $11.50 at $17.75.20 an ounce. The euro 1.0372 against the dollar. British pound 1.2025. The yen is at 138.79. That speech from Fed Chairman Powell is at 1:30 Wall Street time. We will bring it to you live here on Bloomberg Radio. That's Bloomberg Business Flash. And now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. China's ruling Communist Party has vowed to resolutely crack down on infiltration and sabotage activities by hostile forces. The statement follows the largest street demonstrations in decades over strict antivirus restrictions. The House will vote next week on the same-sex marriage bill. The Senate passed it yesterday with bipartisan support. In the NBA, the Knicks won, the Warriors lost. In the NHL, the Islanders lost, the Bruins and Capitals won. At the World Cup, the U.S. now faces the Netherlands Saturday after beating Iran 1-0. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. It is now 5:19 on Wall Street, and we are live for the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. But after years of a tough COVID zero policy, China seems to be softening its rhetoric. The seeming moderation comes after the zero tolerance policy sparked widespread social unrest. And for the latest, let's head to Beijing. We're joined by Bloomberg China government reporter Lucy Liu. Lucy, what is the official line from Beijing and the government?
Hi, John. Yes, so we've seen definitely some easing in the rhetoric. They've been mentioning this dynamic COVID zero a lot less, especially during press conferences and even on some official readouts. And of course, we've seen some official media, state media, put out these stories on how people have gotten COVID and then recovered from it. So we're definitely seeing some sort of laying the path for a potential walk away from this policy.
And what has prompted that? Is it the slowdown in the Chinese economy or is it the protests?
Yeah, it's a good question. It seems certainly to be, you know, everything all at once. But certainly we saw these sort of unprecedented protests this weekend. We've been out both nights on Monday and Tuesday and basically just saw very heavy police presence, but no protests. And so we're waiting to see what will happen this weekend. But certainly that's been a huge catalyst. I think, you know, these protests have really come out spontaneously. And, you know, many analysts are saying that they showed kind of this pent-up anger that the party has potentially underestimated.
Yeah, that raises another question, though. Are the protests, you say it seems to have settled down a bit, is that a response to a softer, potentially softer COVID policy or because of the show of force by the government?
Yeah, we also wonder if it's just because it's so cold right now.
That's also a possibility.
It's been minus 8, minus 10 both nights recently. And when we've gone out, you can barely take your hands kind of out of your pockets and type on the phone. So, but certainly the police presence from what we've been hearing from protesters is top of the list. Yesterday we saw sort of, you know, 50 police cars, 5 buses stationed somewhere close to where people were discussing and then a Telegram group about a potential meeting place. So it's just been a extremely strong reaction from the government. And, you know, protesters are quite anxious, you know, what will happen if they're called into the police station or what may happen next.
Does a potentially softer COVID policy by the Chinese government mean a softer stance against protesters in the future in China?
Yeah, it definitely, the crux of a lot of what the protesters are demanding from their chants is centered around COVID policies. And so certainly seeing this easing, and as some investors are saying, seeing this almost sort of, at least there's an open dialogue, although, you know, that may be optimistic, but seeing some of this easing is definitely going to soften the impetus for the protests. But of course, we now also have sort of breaking news, and with previous leader Jiang Zemin passing away, we're wondering if perhaps you know, any mourning for him could be another reason that people may gather. And we're really watching to see what's going to happen because there's a lot of uncertainties right now.
Yeah, as far as the current premier, Xi Jinping, has he lost face or has he been weakened in any way as a result of all this?
Yeah, so, I mean, this going into his third term where he really just, you know, had this incredible show of power and all of the people on the, you know, the Politburo Standing Committee, this most powerful group of people, were seen as his allies. And then suddenly his signature policy really being, you know, tested in the streets. And, you know, in some very, in some specific cases, people were calling for him to step down. So it's certainly a huge challenge for his third term. And, we've already seen some strong reactions from authorities. So we'll see if this escalates or if people will be satisfied with sort of some easing back on COVID policies.
And what's you mentioned the death of Jiang Zemin. What is his legacy? And I only got about 30 seconds for you.
Yes. So he of course, is sort of represented this era of a more open China. You know, he's this guy who he danced with, you know, Laura Bush. He you know, swam in Hawaii and, you know, played all sorts of instruments. So there's a lot on social media now sort of just, you know, remembering this era and comparing that to China today, which has gone down quite a different path. And so we have seen a lot of people being quite nostalgic.
Yeah. Bloomberg China government reporter Lucia Liu reporting from Beijing this morning, the latest on China. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And ahead of the open on Wall Street this morning, futures for now in the green. The Dow futures up 31, S&P futures up 7, and the Nasdaq E-mini futures 38 points higher. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm John Tucker.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by SEI. Asset managers don't get results that are off the charts when their solutions are off the shelf. Learn how SEI's operating platform can turn infrastructure into a competitive advantage at seic.com/tech.
And we're awaiting remarks from Fed Chair Jay Powell. He speaks right in the middle of the trading day with remarks on the U.S. economy. Bloomberg's Michael McKee has more on what to expect.
Which Jay Powell do the markets get? Do they get the one who came out on November 2nd at the end of the last Fed meeting and was hawkish? At least that's how his remarks were interpreted. Or do we get kind of the Fed speak that we got out of the minutes last week? Probably he's going to lay the predicate for a 50 basis point move.
Bloomberg's Michael McKee says Powell will also discuss the labor market ahead of Friday's jobs report. And Bloomberg Radio and TV will bring you Jay Powell's full speech live. That's around 1:30 p.m. Wall Street time.
You know, at the same time, John, we continue to hear hawkish remarks coming out of the Fed. Bloomberg's Steve Rappaport joins us live with that. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Nathan and John. St. Louis Fed President Jim Bullard says even higher rates are vital to further combat inflation, and he estimates a rate of at least 4.9% in the short term. But a former Fed colleague thinks that's not enough. Former New York Fed president and Bloomberg opinion columnist Bill Dudley predicts the central bank will pause and assess the situation once interest rates reach 5.25% to 5.5%. Live in New York, I'm Steve Rappaport, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Steve, thanks. And turning overseas now, we may start to see a softening of the COVID stance by the Chinese government. Stories of people who survived infections are popping up in state-run media, and local governments are vowing to prioritize the public over COVID control.
Well, it's been one of the best months ever for Chinese stocks listed in the U.S., but virus restrictions continue to hurt the Chinese economy. The latest PMI data came in at their lowest reading since April. The non-manufacturing index also dipped. It's believed about a quarter of China's total GDP is affected by COVID lockdowns.
And back here in the U.S., Congress moving to prevent a possible rail worker strike. The Senate Minority Whip, John Thune of South Dakota, discussed President Biden urging Congress to intervene.
It's something that the president needs to own. The Presidential Emergency Board, which he created, came up with a series of recommendations, and that is what everybody sort of agreed upon, with the exception of one union. So we would like to see them resolve it without having Congress have to act.
That's Senate Minority Whip John Thune. He made the comments on Bloomberg Sound On, which you can get weekdays at 5 p.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio.
Futures moving higher, John. S&P futures are up 9 points. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg.
All right, thanks, Nathan. 5:33 on Wall Street, and it's time to bring in Michael Barr with more on what else is going on in New York and around the world.
John, thank you very much, sir. New York City plans to hospitalize more mentally ill people, even involuntarily. Mayor Eric Adams says it is a push to remove them from the streets and subways.
If severe mental illness is causing someone to be unsheltered and a danger to themselves, we have a moral obligation to help them get the treatment and care they need.
Mayor Adams says they will focus on action, care, and prevention. However, the mayor's announcement was condemned as wrongheaded by some civil rights groups and advocates for the homeless. There was a strange hotel bomb scare in New York City yesterday. Police say someone snuck into an unoccupied hotel room at the Park Hyatt and spent the night. Then a cleaning worker reported being sickened by what was described as a suspicious white substance left behind in the room. NYPD Assistant Chief James McCarthy.
The family had five keys, and they believe one of them they must have dropped, and he picked it up.
Assistant Chief McCarthy says there was a brief evacuation of a floor of the hotel. However, the NYPD says all tests were negative of the powder. Police are now searching for the hotel intruder. The Senate passed legislation to enshrine federal protection for same-sex marriages with a bipartisan vote. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer said the issue is personal for him, as his daughter and her wife are expecting a baby.
That child will now grow up in a more accepting, inclusive, and loving world, a world that will honor their mother's marriage and give it the dignity it deserves.
The bill heads back to the House, where it is expected to pass. Oath Keepers founder Stuart Rhodes has been convicted of seditious conspiracy for a violent plot to overturn President Joe Biden's election during the January 6th Capitol riot. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. It's now 5:35 on Wall Street, and time for the Bloomberg Sports Report, being brought to you by Audi. And here's John Stanshower.
Thanks, John. Just what the Knicks needed after a couple of tough losses at home, a trip to play one of the NBA's worst teams. Pistons are 5-18. Knicks had an easy time in Detroit, 140-110. Julius Randle scored 36. Knicks continue to be better on the road than at the Garden. Islanders lost in Philadelphia 3-1. St. John's beat LIU by 27. The Red Storm off to an 8-0 start. The College Football Playoff Committee has its top four as Georgia, Michigan, TCU, and USC. All four play conference championship games this weekend. Encouraging news on the Giants injury front. As many as six Giants who've been out could be returning for Sunday's home game with Washington. The U.S. advancing at the World Cup in three games, only allowed one goal. That was a penalty kick. 1-0 over Iran on the Christian Pulisic goal, where he got injured in a collision with the goalie. He didn't play the second half. It's a pelvic contusion. Pulisic posted that he'll be ready to play Saturday's round of 16 game against the Netherlands. U.S. has only reached the quarterfinals once since 1930. As Tiger Woods withdrew from this weekend's World Hero Golf in the Bahamas with a foot injury, he detailed his plans for the rest of his golfing career.
The goal is to play just the major championships and maybe one or two more. That's it. I mean, that's physically, that's all I can do. And I told you that, guys, you know, the beginning of this year, too. I mean, I don't have much left in this leg. So gear up for the biggest ones, and hopefully, you know, lightning catches in a bottle. And I'm up there in contention with a chance to win, and hopefully I'll remember how to do that.
Tiger was able to play in three of the four majors in 2022. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. John?
All right, John, thanks very much. 5:37 on Wall Street, and that means it's time for the Tri-State Business Report. Here with that, Bloomberg's Joan Doniger.
New York City is the U.S. city hosting the most visitors as the world recovers from the pandemic. City Monitor cites an American Express count of tourists last year as seeing New York host 4.6 million international tourists and nearly 39.5 million domestic ones. Golden Goose is opening an unusual store in Soho. It's circular. Women's Wear Daily says it will be the first Forward store in New York. Forward represents the company's long-term sustainability plan. And New Jersey is getting ready for a major American milestone, the 250th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence in 2026. The state is planning to restore 10 Revolutionary War sites. The federal American Rescue Plan is kicking in $25 million for the improvements. NJ Spotlight says among the 10 sites, Washington Crossing State Park and the proprietary house in Perth Amboy. That's the Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Joan Doniger.
All right, thanks, Joan. 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. And let's check in now with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
Steve Potus on KNX in Los Angeles. We're talking about the city about to enact retail worker scheduling limits.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KTRH in Houston. Deep discounts drive a record number of holiday weekend shoppers.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WBBM in Chicago, I'm talking about U.S. lawmakers discussing a compromise that would allow Boeing to certify its final two 737 MAX models without an expensive redesign.
I'm Jeff Bellinger. And on WIOD in Miami, I'm reporting on cruise lines rolling out their typical New Year deals a month earlier than usual.
I'm Joan Doniger telling WWJ listeners in Detroit how GM could beat Tesla to an electric vehicle's future.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. It's 5:39 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. This past weekend, protesters across China took to the streets to demand an end to the government's draconian COVID-zero policies. Remarkably, some called for President Xi Jinping himself to step down. Although heavy policing has discouraged further demonstrations, the fact that factory workers, students, and urban professionals united around a single demand should worry authorities. Chinese leaders' top priority right now should be reopening safely. That means officials must present a more realistic picture of the coronavirus's risks, and Xi will need to set the tone if the shift is to be convincing. At last month's Communist Party Congress, Xi was hailed as the country's new helmsman, an honorific previously reserved for Mao Zedong. He should now show that he knows how to change course. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And Bloomberg Opinion editorials can be heard every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. Dow futures up 48 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. The Sports Report brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit your local Tri-State Audi dealer or get behind the wheel of yours today. Or visit AudiOffers.com for more information.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
I'm Nathan Hager. Futures are moving higher as investors await remarks this afternoon from Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell just a couple of weeks before the central bank's latest policy decision. We check the markets every 15 minutes during the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are up 7 points. Dow futures up 30. NASDAQ futures are higher by 42 points. DAX in Germany is up 0.5%. The CAC in Paris is higher by 0.7%. And the FTSE in London is up 0.6%. 10-year Treasury is up 4/32. The yield, 3.72%. Yield on the 2-year, 4.47%. NYMEX crude's moving higher, up 2.1% or $1.65 at $79.85 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.5% or $9.60 at $1,773.30 an ounce. The euro, 1.0365 against the dollar. And the yen is at 138.98. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael?
Nathan, thank you very much. The Senate passed legislation providing federal protection for same-sex marriages. All Democrats present and 12 Republicans supported the measure. Congress is moving swiftly to prevent a looming U.S. rail workers' strike. That would be a devastating blow to the nation's economy if transportation of food, fuel, and other critical goods are disrupted. The House is expected to act first today. In the NBA, the Knicks won, the Warriors lost. In the NHL, the Islanders lost, the Bruins and Capitals won. At the World Cup, the U.S. now faces the Netherlands Saturday after beating Iran 1-0. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. It is 5:48 on Wall Street, and we are live for the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. Well, investors, of course, waiting for the speech by the Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell for any signals about the path of interest rate increases. Let's get you set up for the trading day ahead right now. And I'm happy to say we're joined by Ben Laidler, the global market strategist at eToro. Thanks for being here, Ben. Hey, would you be very surprised if it's a dovish speech by Powell today?
Yes, I would. I'm fully expecting the opposite. I think he's going to try and deliver a reality check to markets that rate hikes are, you know, there's still a lot more to come and that rates aren't coming down anytime soon. But I think markets are expecting that. And it's a real question as whether markets are sort of listening, right? I mean, over the last, I guess, since October, markets have really been fighting the Fed here. We've got higher stock markets, lower bond yields, a weaker dollar. The Fed doesn't like that. But it's a question of what they can really do to stop it at this point.
Why is there such a disconnect between the Fed speak that we've heard and what the market is anticipating?
I think the market is just looking ahead here. We're all looking at the same data. The Fed clearly won't like sort of markets prematurely in their thinking, undoing a lot of the work they've done by tightening financial conditions to cool inflation. But remember, we're all data dependent at this point, investors and the Fed. And markets have, ever since the October inflation numbers sort of started coming down, markets have been looking at this data, not only in the US, but globally. I mean, just today, we had a peak in European inflation. We had downside surprise in Australia overnight. This is not just in the US. This is very much, I think, a global narrative that inflation has peaked and central banks are, you know, beginning to ease off on the rate hike accelerator.
Does Jay Powell today have to put the risk assets in his target?
I think he's certainly going to try. And this is his last chance, remember, because the Fed goes into a blackout period on Saturday, right the way through to the December 14th meetings. He's going to try. But remember also the caveat here, we have quite a lot of data coming out between now and then, which will really help decide what happens on December the 14th. We've got the JOLTS number today. We've got non-farm payrolls on Friday. And we have, funnily enough, the inflation number, you know, the day before the Fed has to announce its next decision. So, as I say, we're all data dependent at this point, and, you know, a lot could change between now and then.
Given all that, what do you tell clients to do?
I think the low for markets is in. I think this is going to be a gradual sort of U-shaped recovery. I think, you know, those sort of stickier bits of inflation that the Fed is most worried about, housing and wages, are going to take some time to sort of ease here. So I think this is sort of two steps forward, one step back. But again, I do think we've seen the low. We've seen the high for inflation. We're getting visibility on the top of the Fed interest rate cycle. I think these are all positives. But again, you know, it's fairly early in the game. Be invested, but be reasonably defensive.
Now, given that, in particular sectors, would technology be a place to be, given the fact that you think that the rate cycle may have turned?
So I think some of these sort of classic defensives, sort of high dividend yields, you know, consumer staples, healthcare, the things that have really worked this year, I think those remain pretty good places you know, to be. I mean, there's still a lot of risks out there. Again, we're still very early, I think, in this move towards, you know, the peak of the Fed cycle and lower inflation. But, you know, the further this goes on, the more inflation comes down and begins to sort of de-risk some of these issues. I think the more you look to, you know, technology, small cap, some of these more sort of interest rate sensitive and economic sensitive assets.
Ben, always a pleasure. We appreciate it. Ben Laidler, global market strategist, joining us this morning at eToro. Nathan.
John. Thank you. It's 5:53 on Wall Street. And now it's time for our Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
New guidance from the Internal Revenue Service gives the clean energy industry more details on how developers and investors can meet some of the requirements of the tax and climate law. A proposed class action accuses Kraft Heinz of deceptively labeling its Capri Sun juice drinks as all natural when they contain undisclosed harmful substances. A Texas company is suing Sam's Club for allegedly infringing on patented technology for issuing email receipts on retail purchases.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
Now to another legal story we're watching. At oral arguments, the Supreme Court appeared divided over President Joe Biden's efforts to shift the government's deportation priorities to the most dangerous undocumented immigrants and those who had recently crossed the border. Texas and Louisiana contend that the Biden administration's approach violates federal immigration law, but the Department of Homeland Security says it does not have the resources to detain and deport all 11 million undocumented people estimated to be in the country. This is the 29th federal lawsuit brought by Texas to challenge Biden administration policies. For more, Bloomberg's June Grosso speaks to immigration law expert Leon Fresco, a partner at Holland & Knight.
Another issue, perhaps the issue, is that the law says that some immigrants, quote, shall be taken into custody or removed.
Correct. There's a law called INA Section 236B that says that there's a specific type of foreign national. If you commit certain types of crimes, you have to be detained mandatorily and removed from the country. And Amy Coney Barrett and Neil Gorsuch were saying to the Department of Justice, well, look, maybe you have this broad power for undocumented person that overstayed their visa or that crossed the border unlawfully 10 years ago. But that's different than when you literally know of somebody who's one of the foreign nationals who has a criminal conviction. What gives you the authority to have a memo that deprioritizes people within that category when Congress clearly said prioritize people in that category? And so there, I can see a compromise decision which strikes maybe that part of the memo, but says that the administration has broad discretion with regard to people such as border crossers and visa overstays to figure out what groups of those people to prioritize.
Because it seemed that particularly Chief Justice Roberts was saying that, you know, we should follow the law. We don't decide how the law is going to be implemented. But then brought up the fact that Congress has never provided the funds to arrest and deport the estimated 11 million undocumented immigrants.
I think there was a very interesting philosophical debate that Justice Roberts was saying, which is, look, at the end of the day, there isn't probably funding to enforce any law. But the point is, that's a different question than whether the government can exempt people. So, you know, you say we're going to exempt this group of tax offenders from tax prosecution or this group of labor law offenders from labor law prosecution. Sure, you don't have enough money to prosecute every labor law violator, but that's a different thing than writing a memo for people. And so what Justice Roberts says is, look, can we just say there's a world where you can't write a memo, but you just do your best within the limited constraints that you have? And I think that is an important discussion, but then it gets balanced with the question of, okay, let's say that's true. What now? What does the agency do now? Do you actually let it sort of run as this rudderless agency without any priorities? And I think that's where this thing falls apart.
That's Leon Fresco, partner at Holland & Knight, speaking with Bloomberg's June Grosso. Catch more of that interview plus analysis of the latest legal news by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcast. Attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com and on the Bloomberg Terminal at BLawGo. Futures are moving a little bit higher ahead of the open and ahead of Chairman Powell's speech this afternoon. S&P futures are up 6 points. Dow futures up 12, NASDAQ futures higher by 39 points. The 10-year Treasury is up 5/32. The yield 3.72%, yield on the 2-year 4.46%. NYMEX crude up 2.3% at $79.99 a barrel. Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.